We Talk Podcast presents
What it is, what it do. Welcome to the One Fall Podcast with your host Joshua Adam William Arbuthnot with the ultimate babyface, Mr. Joel Johnson.
How's it going?
Joel, it is going good. It has been about 2 weeks since I've done a podcast by myself. You're back. You're feeling good?
I'm here.
You're here, so that means you're not sick anymore. We did that solo pod a few weeks ago as we got ready for the Super Juniors and left the Kushida stuff at the end there. So, Joel, I mentioned a little bit what you thought of that Super Junior stuff with the Kushida and Ospreay. But before we get to the Dominion show and Week of WWE and all that fun stuff, just your thoughts on that Super Juniors match.
You know, that Super Junior match was really, really, really well done. That was a joy. Will Ospreay had one of the best Super Junior runs that someone's had, just based on a Dave Meltzer rating. I can firmly believe that at the halfway point, as we're sitting in June right now, that Will Ospreay has improved immensely since the first time we've seen him, and he continues to grow, which is an excellent sign and an excellent mark for someone that is growing in the business and growing as a talent. He's definitely taking what he's learning from New Japan, and he's progressing extremely well. Kushida is one of the top junior heavyweights in the world. And we saw that again with the Dominion show. But the best of Super Juniors delivered like it tends to do these days. And it was a joy to watch. And it definitely deserved its 5 stars.
It's crazy the year that Kushida's having. In any other year, he'd be near the top of the list for Wrestler of the Year. And just with the year that's going on, he may not be in the top three.
No. Unfortunately not. The top wrestler of the year at the halfway point, and New Japan's winning a lot of things right now.
Yeah, New Japan will be sweeping our awards between you, me, and Mo. That is for sure. WWE will be sweeping another side, but it won't have best in front of it.
No, it won't.
I kind of echoed what I thought. Kushida's someone that I've liked for a long time, and he went into the Dominion show. The Dominion show was great. He got back the strap against Takahashi, which, again, was a great match. Tanahashi and Naito, a great match. But, Joel, that's not the match everyone's talking about 3 days later.
No, it is. Dave Meltzer said it was better than the original. And the only movies that have been able to do that were, what, Star Wars?
Rocky. I don't know if Rocky 2 is better than 1, but maybe Rocky 3 is.
Yeah.
Maybe. But Star Wars for sure.
Yeah. There's not many movies that can take that title. I guess Toy Story would be another one that just kind of always hit a home run. But Kenny and Okada. Wow.
Yeah, this. So I want to note to all our listeners too that Joel called this. He called the shot beforehand when we're getting ready. We're about to watch the match. We're kind of doing a little bit of prep before we watch this match. And Joel kind of briefly hears in the back 60-minute time limit. And even without looking at, I don't even think you looked at time tags either, Joel.
No.
Joel said, "You know what? I think this could go to a draw." And I'm like, I'll admit what I said. I'm like, that's going to happen. I'm going to be a little pissed off.
Yeah.
Well, I was definitely not pissed off.
Is this the greatest pro wrestling match you've seen?
It's up there, for sure. I mean, I don't think I've marked out or jumped or been more shocked by a kickout than when Okada put his foot on the rope after the one winged angel. I thought it was done because that had been the story, right? That Kenny could not hit it, and he finally hit it.
Yeah. You know, the whole thing, when we look at it, everything just was crisp with this. I can't think of a single moment where I'm like, oh, there's a botch. There's something that didn't quite click. There were several risky moves that could have easily been botched, yet somehow they delivered. The mid-air powerbomb comes to mind, the moonsault from the the top rope in the middle of the ring. Just everything about it was crisp, and I can't say it enough how Kenny moves in the ring, and the way he moves is how pro wrestlers should move in the ring. He's moving. It's something similar to how I could describe how Benoit moved in the ring. Benoit was very much like that rabid pit bull, that rabid Wolverine that would jump on his opponent constantly. And Kenny has a very similar thing to it, where he moves in such a way that he's on his opponent. Didn't feel like until about the halfway point that there was a little bit of slowing down, and the wear and tear was finally building up on both men, and both men were just trying to hit anything and everything they could to get to put the other one away. That was kind of the thing where, as that time ran down, both men got more and more desperate to get that win. And Kenny showed his resiliency, and Okada showed a resiliency that we've seen in his matches against Shibata, against Omega the first time around, against Fale, against Suzuki. This is something that has become a staple with this Okada character, was his resiliency and just his will to win. You and me had talked about people's drive in sports, Michael Jordan's drive previously, and just had that look in his eye where it didn't matter what was going to happen, Jordan was going to leave that court with a win. And he didn't care how he had to do it, he was going to go out and do it. And I think you can compare something similar to Okada, where he just has to win, he needs to win. And the other thing that we're learning more with Okada is there's a little bit more desperation because he brought out the table. And that's not something he typically does. And bringing out that table and driving Kenny through it, you really felt the shift where it feels like it's almost that slow turn where Okada's kind of getting closer and closer to the kind of that heel persona, and Kenny's getting closer and closer to that baby face. And I really think that another wrinkle in this match was when the Bullet Club came down, Cody with the towel ready to throw it in as Omega's taking a beating. And the way Omega's selling, it's not a heel that's defiant or a bad guy that is kind of taking a walloping but will eventually get back. This is a guy that was beaten down at that point. It was a guy that was selling like a babyface. It was a guy that, like any, it looked like Rocky Balboa taking a beating in the ring.
And yeah, it was kind of, in a way, I thought Kevin Kelly did a really good job of telling the story too. It wasn't the double turn that we saw with Bret and Austin, but you definitely felt a little bit of a turn of momentum of when you went in the match of like you. Okada was you would think the favorite, but they kind of told the story of the powers the B are behind Okada and aren't giving Omega the opportunity. And even I really liked the part in commentary when the table spot happened and the announcers, Cyrus kind of being super biased towards Kenny, obviously because they're both from Winnipeg, for example, both Canadian, and kind of pointing like, look, you're not even helping them. The Bucks are just trying to give him water, and they're paying more attention to Okada, and he's the one that hit the move. He didn't even go through the table. And that was like just a nice subtle thing of baby-facing Kenny. The audience isn't going to pick up on that, but for the audience that's watching live, not the audience in attendance, it added that desire to be like, wow, they're not even helping, letting Kenny get some water from the Bucks. Like, I want this guy to win.
Yeah. No, it was that one thing where there were very small little nuances in this match that help make it a grander overarching story. And I think we would be remiss if this didn't turn into a trilogy that headlined Wrestle Kingdom 12. I think that's the way it needs to go.
That's what people are thinking, right? We don't. Again, the big question that's on a lot of people's mind is, there's a big rumor that Kenny will be leaving, but there's also some people think Kenny's going to be part of the U.S. expansion. There's some people said that the U.S. expansion isn't going to be as big as everyone thinks. So a lot of this comes down to, for Wrestle Kingdom, you know, Naito was the guy that was rumored to be the big guy that wins the G1 and takes on Okada. The question is now, with what they have here, do they put the Naito winning the G1 against Okada plans on ice and put everything towards Kenny Omega winning that title?
I think they'd be crazy if they didn't at least attempt to. But
even if you have Kenny lose the title, not win, right? At least you're giving the third match, because you do need to have a third match, especially after the draw.
Oh, yes. It's definitely 100% now. I think that it really depends on what... There's a lot of factors in this, but I think the other big factor that I was going to get to was Cody is now the next challenger for the
title. Yes.
And he's challenging July 1st.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very intrigued by how that's going to play out, because with him challenging, could he, there's a fraction, I think, coming up between the Bullet Club and the Elite. I think the Elite are going to split off with Kenny, the Bucks, and Skrull, and then the Bullet Club will be led by Cody. Could you foresee a world where Cody takes the title off Okada through cheating ways?
Well, that's a theory. That's a theory that some people are wondering is, so Cody makes the most sense in a way for that Long Beach, because Cody's a name in America.
Yeah,
Cody Rhodes, the Rhodes name is wrestling royalty for a name, right? With his father and with his brother. So you're going to get eyes on that Long Beach show knowing that Cody Rhodes is part of it. You're not going to really use the Rhodes name, obviously, but it would be a little bit of a shock to have Cody win, but maybe that's what they want to do, because even to quote Dave Meltzer, Okada, it's almost time for Okada to lose that championship.
Yeah, it's getting very close, because you don't want to run the risk of him just supermaning through your whole roster.
That's the thing. And then there's another dramatic, let's say you give the belt to Cody, right? So then Okada's in the G1, he's looking to get his title back. Omega's in the G1, he's looking to get into there. And then if you went to the G1 final with Omega versus Okada, and then if you had Kenny win that, Kenny gets the win. So Kenny's had a win, Kenny's had a draw, Kenny's had a loss, and same with Okada, vice versa. And at some point, somehow, Okada wins the title back from Cody or whoever. Then you can go back to that at Wrestle Kingdom with the 1-1-1, and then the final showdown at Wrestle Kingdom.
Yeah.
Or Omega beats Kenny, cashes in earlier, and beats Cody for the tight, and then Okada's like, okay, well, now I want the title. I want the title match with you.
I actually don't know if he can cash in or not, because it doesn't work quite like Money in the Bank.
No, but maybe he gets a shot ahead of time, right?
Yeah.
Maybe he's just like, no, I want to face you, Cody, for the belt.
Yeah.
And he beats Cody, and he goes in as that. So a lot of things they could do. You know, neither one of us really watch the Access shows, so it's a lot of reading.
Yeah.
To catch up and stuff. I mean, is the weekly television on New Japan World?
I don't know if they really run a weekly program. They do run Road 2, which is basically their Raw heading towards their events. That's what they kind of do. So
I think a big thing, too, is that they do the title switch. As it goes to the Long Beach show, will be the numbers on New Japan World, which have fallen to apparently 9,000 now.
Really?
Yeah, the numbers aren't great for New Japan World. I think if you're a wrestling fan, though, like you and I were saying, like, there's not anything on WWE for casual fans or fans that, you know, wonder where wrestling is right now. There's nothing WWE-wise I'm going to show them. I'm not going to show Miz tagging with the Bear against Rhino and Heath Slater. But I would show them Will Ospreay versus Kushida. And I'd love to show them the 60-minute draw. I just don't know how that would go over with a casual fan. But nonetheless, there's quite a bit of New Japan. I think it gives it the legitimacy of almost being a real sport, of mixing some mixed martial arts in with wrestling to a perfect degree.
Yeah. I think that... Oh, it's going to be interesting. Like this is one thing that they've done very well, is they've created this very much open world for more hardcore fans, that there's a lot of possibilities and you're invested. This is really, Kenny Omega and Okada really upped the investment in New Japan for myself and you, as well as Will Ospreay, as well as Ricochet, as well as Kushida, as well as a few other guys. This is, you know, this is the closest I think I will ever fully experience as a very knowledgeable wrestling fan to something that we could harken back to the Monday Night Wars, which is cool, which I'm perfectly okay with. And, you know, what New Japan has offered is they've offered an alternative to WWE. You don't like what you see, you can go to New Japan World. It's cheap. It's not expensive. You can go on there. They have an English website now where you can get everything in English. And there's more and more matches and shows being offered in English, because they know that they need to start working towards the English, because those 60 minutes flew by.
Oh, I was telling you, like, that did not feel, as someone that didn't want to go for a 60-minute match, I never once felt like, oh, man, this is dragging. Like, when we hit the half-an-hour part, I thought, oh, this has been, like, 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, I never really thought, like, oh, this is not what I wanted to be.
It was everything you wanted, and then some, and both guys deserve credit, but the run that Okada's having, I don't know if anyone's going to surpass it.
Yeah, it's, like I said, you look at the year, like, someone that Kushida's having, and it doesn't, like, if Kushida had the year he had right now last year, he probably would have topped AJ for my Wrestler of the Year.
Yeah.
But Okada is just, it's halfway through, and it's like, it's hard to think anyone could even come close to touching him. Just with the five-star matches and, the, you know, the great match with Suzuki, the great match with Shibata, both of these Omega matches, even, you know, the 4.5 that he got with Bad Luck Fale, all phenomenal matches. Every time he steps in, it's just something to watch. And there's nothing to say against Kenny, who, you know, he had a really good match with Ishii, and, you know, I think the thing that hurts Kenny is just that he had that two-month span there, right, where he wasn't really doing anything.
Yeah, but that helped long-term. That was smart long-term.
It was smart because it let him be healthy and feel good. And, you know, look at Brent to the table yesterday with some of their answers for Match of the Year. I don't think a WWE match is in the top five even. Maybe the British match, maybe.
Yeah.
But if you're looking right now, as we're almost at the halfway point, if you're looking at the top five matches of the year, you're going to go with those two, the Kenny and Okada matches. Then you're going to go Kushida Ospreay. Then you're going to go probably, what, Okada and Shibata. And then you get the Suzuki match, which you and I have not seen.
Yeah.
So maybe for me personally, maybe I put the bait in the Dunn match there. But from what I've heard from someone like Mo, the Suzuki match is also just phenomenal.
Yeah.
So I don't know if WWE is, like, one thing I can tell you is there's no match that's been on a main WWE pay-per-view that's in the top five this year.
Yeah. I think that the match of the year is going to be dominated by two people, and it's Kenny and Okada. And it's really pick your poison.
And, I mean, number three could be even better, too. I don't know.
Yeah. And we could live in a world where we're like, well, January 4th, 2018, we're going to have another match of the year already decided for us, and it won't even be 4 days in. So.
The really interesting thing about this Cody match, too, is this will be in American time.
Yeah.
And guess what goes head-to-head with that on pay-per-view that same day?
What?
Slammiversary.
I know what I'm going to be watching.
I know what a lot of people are going to be watching.
Slammiversary.
I don't even know, in all honesty, I'm a bad wrestling journalist, I guess, because I don't even know what's the main of that card. So Slammiversary 2017. What do we got, Joel? What do you think we got for the main event? So this is the card for Slammiversary. And I want you, let's not be dick about this. Like, tell me what, if you're legit interested in any of these matches.
Okay.
So Sanjay Dutt versus Low Ki, two out of three falls for the X Division Championship.
That could be fun.
Yep. I've heard Low-Ki has been really good right now.
Yeah?
Intergender Full Metal Mayhem Tag Team Match. So that's their TLC, right?
Yeah.
So Eddie Edwards and Ashley Edwards versus Davey Richards and Angelina Love.
That could be okay.
Yep. D'Angelo Williams, is that like the football player? Yep, it is. Okay. So D'Angelo Williams, the football player, and Moose versus Chris Adonis, who I've never heard of. Oh, it's Masters. So Chris Masters and Eli Drake.
Yeah.
Rosemary versus Sienna for the women, winner takes all to unite the Global Force Championship and the Knockouts Championship.
Yeah.
Ethan Carter III versus James Storm in a strap match.
Well, that'd be all right.
Oh, God, Joel. Are you ready?
Oh, boy.
Jeremy Borash and Joseph Park versus Josh Matthews and Scott Steiner.
Oh, yeah. That's going to print money.
And then the main event is the Global Force.
Just a question. How does Scott Steiner feel about Samoa Joe being in the main event?
He's got a fat ass.
Oh, God.
And then the main event is Bobby Lashley, the Impact Champion, versus the Global Force Champion, Alberto El Patron.
I think I'm more interested in seeing what Steiner does.
I'm not going to lie. I will watch the matches on this show.
I won't.
I think we should watch the Steiner match.
Okay, yeah. That you can talk me into.
Yeah, I mean, I'll give it to them. That's a pretty decent get getting D'Angelo Williams.
Yeah?
I mean, he's a free agent, but, you know, he's a former Pro Bowler. He's an All-Pro. He's a really cool story, kind of a rebel in the NFL, not a rebel, but, like, just the NFL has very weird rules about color coding and stuff.
Yeah.
And his mother died of breast cancer. So he wore pink cleats after they're not supposed to wear pink cleats, and he got fined for it. So we're not going to get into the politics of the NFL and stuff. We can do that for another pod. But so he put a pink streak in his hair instead.
Jeez.
And in one of his dreads. But I honestly had no idea that Chris Masters was in TNA. Did you?
Nope.
I did not know. I guess they're finally getting rid of Global Force.
Yeah, it sounds like it's all dying.
I really do think the Sanjay Dutt and Low-Ki match for the X Division title could be really good. Sanjay Dutt is their champion, by the way, X Division champion. He's someone when I was watching TNA, I was always a big fan of Sanjay Dutt. I really liked him. And Low-Ki, I thought, you know, WWE could have done a lot more with him, but they just stuck him with Michelle McCool and Layla, and it didn't really work, and that's when he was Caval.
Caval.
So, yeah, I think we all know more people are going to be watching, yeah. But this is what number of Slammiversary do you think this is?
I want to say like 10 or 11.
13.
Lucky number.
Yeah. Past Slammiversary main events. AJ Styles, the first one was AJ Styles versus Abyss versus Monte Brown versus Raven versus Sean Waltman in a King of the Mountain match. It seemed like there was a King of the Mountain match for all of these. One had Mick Foley, AJ, Jeff Jarrett, Kurt Angle, Samoa Joe.
Oh, jeez.
So all of those guys are in WWE now. And once Kurt changes, we'll be main of, like, almost competitors. So you had two former Raw GMs in the same match. You have the match that made me stop watching TNA, which was Rob Van Dam versus Sting for the TNA Championship. Yeah, it's Joel. I can tell Joel is thrilled by all of these.
Oh, just so excited.
Yeah, I don't know. It's TNA, man. I don't know what happened.
It just kind of fell apart.
I mean, I'm interested in the Steiner thing because I think that could be our worst of possibility.
Oh, yeah.
And they only have the two pay-per-views now. It's just them and Bound for Glory.
Oh, wow.
Remember when they had all the pay-per-views and they were named after, like, Phil Collins pay-per-views, like Genesis and Against All Odds?
Yeah.
That was a fun run. So, yes, but back to Japan, because I can tell Joel is already sick of this conversation.
Yeah.
That'll be interesting. They have the Long Beach card against that. We'll see what the other matches they have. Let's go. You want to really run through Money in the Bank really quick here?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We got to predict that.
Anything from Raw really quick this week? Bayley, really quickly.
Bad. I'm just going to say bad and leave it at that.
It's I don't know what they're doing with Bayley, but it's not good. It is bad. And they have no idea where... The whole women's division just kind of seems lost right now.
Yeah, it's not great. Not solid booking. You've heard the reports that Vince's... Hunter is frustrated with Vince over the direction of some of the NXT guys, and you can't really blame him.
Yeah, well, one of the NXT guys that's looking really good is Samoa Joe. Back-to-back weeks now of excellent things for Joe. He looks like a beast, something you and I were always skeptical of when he was under a WWE contract. What did you think of the angle that was shown this week?
Oh, it was solid. That kick was fantastic.
It was great.
Exactly what you need. This build, I'm excited to keep seeing this build, because I think even if Joe will probably lose, but I think Joe will come out looking better, even in a loss.
So Brock is not on the show next week, but he'll be on the 26th and I believe the 3rd. There's still 3 more weeks to build this up. So that's interesting, because you remember when the last time they did a pull apart was with Taker and Brock. And I don't really remember anything else they did. So I'd like to figure out, maybe hopefully there's something else they can do during that. But so far, with the physicality on Heyman, and now with this pull apart, they've made Joe look like someone that you could really see take Brock out. And do you think this will be a squash match, or do you think this will be like an actual 15-minute match?
I think this will probably go a good 10 minutes.
Yeah. But you don't think it'll be a squash match. You think it'll actually be a competitive match.
I think it'll be closer than what most people figure.
I think it's time to let Brock kind of have a good back and forth match.
Yeah.
Goldberg one, for what they did, it worked really well.
Just showed that that was exactly what it needed to be. But now it's time to kind of give someone else a little bit of a run with things.
Also on Raw, Roman Reigns is going to announce his SummerSlam plans next week. What are you thinking?
I don't know. I really and truly don't know. I've heard some rumors, but I'm just going to kind of wait and see. I know it's kind of interesting that they're kind of having him skip the July pay-per-view, but, maybe it's a good thing not having him just in the throwaway feud. I do think he probably will announce he's going for the Intercontinental title.
Interesting. He could also announce he wants to face Finn, because Finn has no opponent right now either.
Yeah.
So that's a direction. Do you want to talk about the Bray Wyatt stuff, or just leave that alone?
Leave that alone.
Okay. You can read. It's all over the place. Just go research the Bray Wyatt stuff.
Type in Bray Wyatt and you'll see it really quick.
We'll leave that alone. Think that's everything from Raw.
Yeah.
The Hardys mentioned on an interview with Corey Graves a little bit about the Broken Universe and kind of left things alone from there. Peter Rosenberg is a huge mark, but we don't have enough time to do that rant today.
No.
Let's get to Money in the Bank. Normally Joel reads the card, but I've got it already right here in front of me. So, and we just did this after watching SmackDown Fresh. I can tell you one person who's not winning Money in the Bank, Joel.
Nakamura?
Yeah. Anyway, so Naomi and Lana for the Women's Championship.
Naomi.
Lana.
Yeah, not a bad pick.
Because I think maybe Lana wins it and there's a cash-in.
Yeah. See, the way you said that makes me think of Archer. So this is good if Lana can...
Lana! By the way, really quickly, well, I'll ask you this after. I'm assuming, too, there's going to be a pre-show match. And I'm sure it'll be Aiden English versus Ty Dillinger, because that's what they like to do.
Oh, yeah.
Or maybe the Fashion Police versus whoever attacked Seth. We have the tag team titles, though, of the Usos versus the New Day for the tag team championships.
Usos.
I would agree with you on that. We have the Women's Money in the Bank. Becky Lynch, Charlotte Flair, Natalya, Tamina, and Carmella.
Let's go with Tamina.
I'm going to say Carmella. I'm going to say she cashes it in that night on Lana. Then you have the men's Money in the Bank. You have Kevin Owens, AJ Styles, Baron Corbin, Sami Zayn, Dolph Ziggler, and Shinsuke Nakamura.
This has been kind of telegraphed for a couple weeks now. It's Baron Corbin.
Is there anyone else you could see possibly winning this?
No.
If you had to pick a runner-up, like a second choice, who would you pick?
I could probably see like a Sammy.
Yeah, that's probably mine, because I don't think KO's winning it.
No.
I guess KO makes sense just as far as promos, maybe?
Yeah.
I would just say this. I don't see AJ or Nakamura. Those are the two I'm ruling out
100%. Yeah.
Everyone else, sure. Maybe even Dolph has a chance. And then the WWE Championship, Jinder Mahal versus Randy Orton. And where does the pay-per-view take place?
Randy Orton's hometown. But, hey, so, Rich Swann broke that in Baltimore, so...
That's great. They never threw it over your head today, and they never said that Bob Orton will be there and other legends.
But, come on. Maybe it'll be time to hinder Jinder. No, Jinder's winning.
Yeah, Jinder's winning, and
because
then I don't know
who's facing at SummerSlam. That'd be interesting.
It should be. So, my question to you is, what's the main event?
The men Money in the Bank.
I think the men Money in the Bank is?
Yeah.
So the women open then?
How do you book this?
So this is how I would put the order of the card. Put the women first. Right?
Yeah.
Then I put the tag match. Then I do Naomi Lana. Then I do Jinder Randy. And then I do the men.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking. Or do you do the men first and then you do the women last?
No, I think you close out with the men.
A Money in the Bank will be closing it, though, you believe?
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe so, too. And that's it'd be weird that if Corbin is the one winning and that's how they end, is with Corbin.
Yeah, the heel.
Yeah. And yeah, and then I think Carmella cashes it in Alana. Or I guess if they keep with Carmella too, they can do some fun stuff with her and Ellsworth with it. So
yeah, Ellsworth is going to get the briefcase, by the way.
You're not incorrect. That's probably going to happen.
Exciting times.
Yeah, I think both. There's a lot of good matches on here. And again, we don't have anything for the Fashion Police, anything for Ty Dillinger, Aiden English, Luke Harper. We saw the Hype Bros come back together tonight, so maybe there's something with them.
Yeah.
Don't know, but that's Money in the Bank. We'll see what the main event is. And, yeah, if you're really sick of WWE, though, just go watch New Japan.
Yeah.
Just go watch. And, by the way, we talked about Cody Rhodes having the chance for that the IWPG Championship. He's also going to be facing Christopher Daniels for the ROH Championship.
Mm.
I wonder if you could have a scenario where Cody could have both straps. I don't think so, but be interesting, to say the least.
Oh, yeah. That would definitely be... we'd be living in an interesting world.
We would be. All right, well, Joel, thanks for always for joining us and doing the podcast today. Everyone go check out Joel Johnson TV for all his great stuff. Check us out on Fresh Take 42. For all our great stuff, FreshG42 on Instagram and Twitter, the One Fall Pod Instagram, and the One Fall Pod on Facebook. Until next time, cheers.
six point two five stars.
Is that what it got?
No, but it should.
Okay.
We're waiting.
Until next time, cheers and enjoy the day, people.